Good morning, everyone. Morning. Welcome to worship, communion and baptismal service for David Cunningham, and a very warm welcome to all his family, relatives and friends for this memorable occasion. And it's particularly nice, as we are all familiar with Helen and Alan being here over the years. We all, on this 18th Sunday after Pentecost, we have the pleasure of his servant minister, the Reverend Tim Woolley, to conduct this service. So may the blessing of the Holy Spirit be upon Reverend Tim and everyone present, including all those in our heartfelt thoughts, perhaps unable to join us. Following the service, refreshments will be served with baptismal cake to share to celebrate this occasion. There's only one important notice, and that is the Church Council meeting on Thursday, the 17th of October, this coming week. The files are available to refer to at the back of the church. The prayer for today on the notice sheet shall be screened to recite together, and that will be followed by our call to worship hymn 24, Come Now Is the Time to Worship. So thank you all. Enjoy the service.
Thanks, John. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all here this morning, and a very warm welcome, particularly to visitors this morning. A very warm welcome here to Denton Burn. It's lovely to see you. Those who are regularly here will know that I often show a couple of funny slides before we start, and I did find a couple to share with you this morning, no exception. Some church somewhere was going to sing Shine Jesus Shin. There may have been something special about his shins. I don't know. There might have been. That was that one. What else did I find? Oh, yes. This is a very common one at the bottom there. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Chris. Chris features a lot in church liturgy, I think, when mistakes are made. And lastly, what was this one? Oh, yeah. Friendship Church, no clothing this Wednesday. We'll see how popular their service is. Could be interesting. Interesting still. Okay. Right. Let's sing then our call to worship song. And as John said, our prayer for today will be on the screen with the words. I'm just going to plug this back in, Liz, because we need that. Like that. That's it. Please be seated. Please be seated. Okay, we're going to pray now. Let's pray together. Now, this first bit of the prayer I'm going to lead, and then the second bit will be a video reflection that will be on the screen called We Give Thanks. So let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for this, your family here today, as we worship you this morning, as we share together and as we celebrate. Lord, we thank you for the gift of new life into our families. And today we particularly thank you for little David Cunningham and the blessing and the joy that he is to his family, to his wider church family here, and indeed to everyone. Lord, richly bless him today as we celebrate his baptism and the start of his journey of faith, remembering the words of Jesus, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And Lord, as the nights start to draw in, and we reflect upon another year heading towards a close, we give thanks.
In this season, we look back at the blessings we've received, and we give thanks. Lord, for your goodness and mercy when we are less than good. we give thanks for your love and patience when we lack the love that's needed. We give thanks for your provision in times of need, whether we acknowledge you or not, Lord. We give thanks for leading and guiding us when we can't find our way. We give thanks for your ultimate sacrifice, redeeming us in our brokenness. We give thanks when we struggle to find the good in our lives. We rest in the fact that you are good, though our lives are far from perfect. You are perfecting us for all that you've done for us, in us, through us. We give thanks to you, Lord.
Amen. Okay. You might have recognized the voice on that video. Okay. So recently we've started having a little point in our worship each service when I'm here to have a little time. If anybody wants to share anything at all, if anything's happened this week, to encourage others, really. We are a church family together. And so if anybody's got anything at all they want to share, something good that's happened to them this week, perhaps some way God's spoken, then you're very welcome too. Has anybody got anything? Anything that's happened this week to give thanks about or share? Yes, Ida.
Your son-in-law, has made a slight improvement.
Oh, that's lovely. Okay, Ida's son-in-law, who's been very poorly, has made us an improvement this week. That's good. That's good to be thankful for that. Thank you, Ida. Thank you. Anything else? Anybody wants to share? No? Okay. That's fine. You've had the opportunity. That's good. Something very special happened yesterday in Vienna. Did anybody see it?
Yes.
You did? Yeah? Okay. What happened? That's right. Yes, it was a rather special marathon run, wasn't it? Just one chap. Here he is. Eliud Kipchoge. I can't pronounce his surname very well. Eliud, anyway. Eliud, that's right, yeah. Finished his marathon run, didn't he? In under 2 hours, 1:59:40. Absolutely amazing. It's something I've been meaning to do myself. I generally only get round to eating marathons, not running them. But what a remarkable achievement for this man running yesterday. And it was just wonderful to see him cross that finish line, wasn't it? After that full marathon run. What a journey. But as an amazing as he is, there were other things going on that made that possible, weren't there? And just on that smaller picture at the bottom there, you can see behind him, who were all those behind him there? That's right. The pacers, they had the way it worked, and the reason why he was able to do what he did was because those pacers came alongside him at the strategic points to kind of help carry him along and set the pace so he was going to achieve that incredible record. And, you know, it just had me when I was watching it and watching those pacers carrying him along in a sense to achieve that. It just in a way had me thinking about our church family. You know, the Christian life is a lifelong journey and we cannot do it in isolation. It's not, you know, that journey isn't a journey to be done in isolation. We're in community together with Jesus at the head. And in a way, we're all a little bit like pacers for each other. Those times when we need other people to come alongside us and help us along to finish the race, to run the race successfully. And it just had me, you know, I was just reflecting on that when I watched him yesterday. And may we all be good pacers for each other, loving and supporting each other and getting alongside each other as we run this race together. And yeah, you look like you want to say something, Pat. For all the pacers who've helped you. Yeah, that's lovely, Pat. Thank you. Helped you in your journey, in your marathon run. Yeah, that's right. That's lovely. Okay, we're going to sing again now. The words will be on the screen. We're going to sing Give Thanks. We give thanks for everyone who's here this morning and all those pacers that get alongside us to help make us strong when sometimes we find we're weak and we need that extra help. I'm just going to plug this in again, Liz, so you've got the words. That's it. That should come on. Right. Okay, so shall we stand if we're able to sing Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart? Please be seated. So we've already talked about pacers who come alongside us in our journey. And perhaps this morning we're considering in a sense some very special pacers, if you like, in the life of little David here. His family around him must be the ultimate ones to lead him on his journey, particularly in these early years. And we celebrate David's baptism here this morning. There will be some words in yellow up on the screen for you as a congregation to join in with at various points. Baptism is God's free gift to us, telling us about God's love and grace. In this outward sign of an inward change, we celebrate, firstly, that Jesus came to live on earth with us to teach us about God's love, and then showed that love by giving his life for us upon the cross. Secondly, that God reaches out to each of us today through his Holy Spirit to teach us about his love, to help us to know him and enable us to live the way that he wants us to live. And finally, that God makes us part of the Church of Jesus Christ so that we may be supported by other Christians and love and support them in our turn. Although we don't deserve these gifts of grace or fully understand them, God offers them to us all and invites us to respond. As a church, we remember the words of Jesus after he was raised from the dead. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Okay. So I ask Alan and Helen and the family, if you'd like to come to the front here. Come round this side. I'll see if we get room for you all. And godparents, yeah. Okay. Make your way round. Are you coming? Oh, I'm sorry, we need you, Dave. We really do need you here. Look at everybody. Look at everybody up here. Peter's come too, look. Okay. Okay. So I say to the parents, Alan and Helen, having heard these things, how do you respond to the offer of God's grace?
We thank God and ask that our child be baptized.
Gracious God, we thank you for your gifts of water and the Holy Spirit, for your sustaining, cleansing, and life-giving power. From the beginning, your grace has been made known through water and the Spirit. Your Spirit moved over the waters at creation, and you led your people to freedom through a parted sea. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus. He was baptized in the waters of the Jordan and anointed with the Holy Spirit. He passed through the deep waters of death and lives forevermore. He offers us living water and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit, that David, who is to be baptized in this water, may die to sin, be raised with Christ, and be born to new life in the family of your church. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Okay. So I ask both parents and godparents together, do you turn away from evil and all that denies God?
By the grace of God, I do.
Do you turn to God, trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and in the Holy Spirit as helper and guide?
By the grace of God, I do.
Thank you. And so we affirm our faith together by saying, we believe in God the Father who made the world. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, who redeemed humankind. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God. Okay, you going to come to me? Okay, you going to come to me?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, if you
oh, it's okay. It's okay.
It's all right. It's okay, she's here. It's all right. Look at this water. Look at this water here. Look around this side. Look at it. Yeah. Okay, can you see it? All right. Listen. David, for you, Jesus Christ came into the world. For you, he lived and showed God's love. For you, he suffered death on the cross. For you, he triumphed over death, rising to newness of life. For you, he prays at God's right hand, all this for you, before you could know anything of it. In your baptism, the word of Scripture is fulfilled. We love because God first loved us. Is that okay? Is that okay? All right. Shall we look at the water then? Okay. I'll come around the side and you can see. David Michael Cunningham, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's it. By baptism, we receive you into the church. And I sign you with the cross of Christ, for you now belong to him. Is that okay? I think something's coming now. It's coming. Look at that. That's more fun, isn't it?
It's for you, though.
Oh my God, look at that.
David, receive this light, for you belong to Christ, the light of the world. Christ is your light and your way.
Amen. Oh, amen.
Kiss. Have a kiss.
Oh, a little one.
All right, okay. You want to go back to Mummy? To go back to Mummy. That's better. Okay. Okay. We should have all said it together. May you grow and live in the faith of Christ. Okay. Amen. And we're going to say the blessing together that's on the screen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with kindness and give you peace. Amen. Amen. So Helen and Alan, I ask you now to respond to God's love and grace to your child by making these promises. Will you love David, committing yourself to care for him in body, mind and spirit?
With God's help, we will.
Will you therefore ensure that he is nurtured in the faith and life of the Christian community?
With God's help, we will.
Will you set before him a Christian example that through your prayers, words and deeds, he may learn the way of Christ?
With God's help, we will.
And I say to Tim and Hannah, will you help Helen and Alan to nurture David in the Christian faith?
With God's help, we will.
Can I ask you all to stand if you're able? Members of the body of Christ, we rejoice that David has been baptized. Will you so maintain the church's life of worship and service that he may grow in grace and in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord? Thank you. Please be seated. We've got some more things for you that Joy's going to bring. He'll grow into it. He'll grow into it. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Peter, would you like to do a special job? I was thinking, would you like to blow it out? Do you like to blow it out? Nearly. Try one more time. Oh, well done. Fantastic.
Good boy.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, no, that's fine. You want to do it now? Okay. Yeah. No, that's fine. Yeah.
Why are you not smiling?
Okay. Thank you. That's all right. Okay. We just got a little prayer now before they sit down. Generous God, on this very special morning for David, touch us all again with the fire of your Spirit and renew in us all the grace of our baptism, that we may profess the one true faith and live in love and unity with all who are baptized into Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. See you later. Well done. We're going to sing a hymn now that was chosen by Alan and Helen for this morning. The words will actually be on the screen for this one, but it's number 540 in your red books. The day the universe was started. Please be seated. I forgot to warn you before we started singing that there was one verse missing on the accompaniment, but you sang it beautifully, and that was in a way a lovely blessing of a hymn for David as well. The other thing that I was going to mention at the beginning and forgot was, have they all received a little card? They have, yes, to just write your little thoughts and wishes and prayers for David. And I think there's a basket at the back or something, which before you leave today, at some point, if you could put it in there, and that'd be a lovely little thing to gather together for David to cherish as he grows older. So thank you for that. Thank you. We're going to have our two Bible readings for this morning now. The first one, Psalm 66, is going to be read to us, and then our gospel reading from Luke chapter 17, another story about giving thanks, being thankful. Okay.
Psalm 66, from beginning to end. Praise God with shouts of joy, all people. Sing to the glory of his name, offer him glorious praise. Say to God, How wonderful are the things you do. Your power is so great that your enemies bow down in fear before you. Everyone on earth worships you. They sing praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done, his wonderful acts for mankind. He changed the sea into dry land. Our ancestors crossed the river on foot. There we rejoiced because of what he did. He rules forever by his might and keeps his eyes on the nations. Let no rebels rise against him. Praise our God, all nations. Let your praise be heard. He has kept us alive and has not allowed us to fall. You have put us to the test, God. As silver is purified by fire, so you have tested us. You let us fall into a trap and placed heavy burdens on our backs. You let our enemies trample over us. We went through fire and flood, but now have you have brought us to a place of safety. I will bring burnt offerings to your house. I will offer you what I promised. I will give you what I said I would when I was in trouble. I will offer sheep to be burnt on the altar. I will sacrifice bulls and goats, and the smoke will go up in the sky. Come and listen, all who honor God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. I cried to him for help. I praised him with songs. If I had ignored my sins, the Lord would not have listened to me. But God has indeed heard me. He has listened to my prayer. I praise God because he did not reject my prayer or keep back his constant love from me. Amen.
Reading from Luke. As Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, he went along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going to a village when he was met by 10 men suffering from a dreaded skin disease. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, take pity on us." Jesus saw them and said to them, "Go and let the priests examine you." On the way, they were made clean. When one of them saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "There were 10 men who were healed. Where are the other 9? Why is this the only one who come back to give thanks to God?" And Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has made you well."
Thanks to Malcolm too. There's a lot we can unpack from that account that we've just heard from Luke's gospel. But the way that translation had it talked about a dreaded skin disease, was really talking about leprosy. And perhaps, the first thing to stress is the fact that leprosy was really quite an awful disease. And it would also seem that it's not just a disease that's consigned to the past, even now. Apparently more than 200,000 cases, new cases, are recorded globally each year. And 3 million people now are living with irreversible disabilities, including blindness, because of leprosy. And back at the time of Jesus, lepers were mandated to keep their distance, to cover the lower half of their faces, These were ancient quarantining instructions that were in the Jewish laws, actually in Leviticus chapter 13, long before face masks and isolation wards. And the priests that were mentioned in the passage were a bit like health inspectors. It was their job to decide who was clean and who wasn't, deciding who could be let back into the fold, as it were, and who had to be kept apart. Imagine how these lepers must have felt going around declaring themselves as unclean to anyone in hearing distance. I think they had to have a little bell which they had to ring to warn people that they were on their way. It was inevitable that Jews and Samaritans with leprosy, despite their huge cultural and religious differences, would often get together. They had such a common bond, a common affliction, both separated from their own people. And here they are in this account, standing at a distance and calling out to Jesus. We don't know exactly what these lepers believed about Jesus at this point, but it seems that they at least have an inkling that he's someone special, that they may have seen him heal others. And so they cry out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Maybe there are people today who are standing at a distance from Jesus, perhaps feeling isolated from him, for whatever reason, perhaps feeling despised or unwanted by the society around them, perhaps feeling unclean, but at the same time with just a small inkling that Jesus might be someone special who can bring about a change in their lives. And in this account, we're told that Jesus saw them. He looked at them and addressed them. Now, this might seem like a throwaway part of the story, but have you ever noticed what we do sometimes if we're walking past someone that we really don't want to get involved with? Maybe a homeless person, or maybe a beggar on the street, and it's inconvenient for us and we haven't got much time, and there'll be a million and one reasons why we don't want to get involved. And so what do we often do? Yeah, we avert our eyes. We don't look at them. We look at something else or someone else. We don't want to make that visual contact that might commit us in some way that's going to make us feel uncomfortable or feel like we're taking a bit of a risk. It's a bit inconvenient. But in this account, when faced with the most ostracized people of the day, Jesus looks at them and enters into a dialogue. And it's no different today. If you stand at a distance from Jesus for whatever reason, but having an inkling that he is the one who can bring about healing and cleansing, Jesus wants to enter into conversation and relationship with you too. And in this story, Jesus sees them and enters into a dialogue. And he tells them what's to be done. And what he does tell them to do might seem a little strange, because on this occasion, he doesn't call them over and lay hands on them and minister to them in what we might think of as a more conventional Jesus manner. He touched a leper back in Luke chapter 4 and made him clean. But on this occasion, he doesn't do that. He tells them to go and do what their laws mandated to do when you thought you were clean and disease-free. Go and show yourselves to the priests, the health inspectors. Which is odd, because he's encouraging them to act as if something miraculous has happened before there's any evidence of it at all. He's asking them to trust that in the process of being obedient, as they head off to find the priests, their healing would become a reality. Despite there being no rational evidence at this point to warrant presenting themselves to the priests at all, he says to them, "Go, show yourself to the priests." The obedience starts before the healing does. Those first steps towards the priests have to be steps of faith, because they're not based on anything rational they can see. First step, no healing. Second step, leprosy still clinging on perhaps. But then at some point, as they carry on taking those steps, something they never dreamed possible happens and the cleansing occurs. But the obedience had to be first. There's a fascinating parallel story to this one in the Old Testament, in the second book of Kings, chapter 5, about a highly regarded army officer, an army commander called Naaman, who gets leprosy. And to cut a long story short, you can read it for your homework, he knows that there's a prophet in Israel who might be able to heal him. And so he goes to Israel. He's not Jewish, he's a Gentile, a foe of Israel, really. But he arrives in Israel with all his horses and his chariots, and he's directed to the prophet Elijah to seek healing from God. And Elijah simply tells him to go and wash 7 times in the river Jordan. And Elijah tells him that his flesh will be restored and healed. Well, Naaman's pretty miffed at these instructions, having come all that way. Is that it? That's not rational. The passage says, and I love this, that Naaman exclaims, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. We've got much better rivers back in Damascus. I could have had a wash in those." And so it says that he goes off in a rage. But to cut to the chase, his servants persuade him to go and do the simple thing that the prophet had instructed him to do. And so he does go to the Jordan, and it says his skin became clean like that of a young boy. And the parallels of the two stories are fascinating. And it continues to be fascinating when you look at the response of the Gentile commander when he realizes that he's been healed. He returns to Elisha. He goes back to the man of God, full of gratitude for his healing. And he tries to offer him gifts, although Elisha won't accept them. Remember which of the lepers in the New Testament story returned to offer thanks to Jesus? It was the Gentile. The most unlikely one of the 10, perhaps. And Naaman declares, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. He knows that he has been healed by the living God. And this hasn't been some false encounter with a made-up, man-made deity." So the parallels between the two stories, I think, are fascinating. I wonder, do we sometimes perhaps fall into the trap of setting up deals with God? If you do this blessing for me, then I'll respond in obedience to you. We want to see what God does first, to do the healing, to do the dramatic, to sort some problem or situation out first, and then we'll respond in some positive way of gratitude towards God. But in both stories, the ones seeking the healing had to take the steps of obedience first, even if what was instructed seemed like a ridiculous thing to do and not rational at all. Note that if he'd only looked around at what they could see in the natural, the obvious, the outcomes of the stories would have been very different. So just to return to the Luke account with Jesus, it's the healed Gentile that returns to Jesus full of gratitude and recognizes the enormity of what's happened and this encounter with the living God that he's experienced and been transformed by. It's arguably the most unlikely one that throws himself at Jesus' feet in response to the grace and the healing that he's received. And Jesus' final blessing, if you like, to this man is lovely. "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The Greek word at the end here is sozo. Rise up. Your faith has made you sozo. And this Greek word can be translated as to heal, to save, to make well, to make whole. It's a much bigger word with a much deeper meaning than the word that Jesus used when he says of the others, "Were not 10 made clean?" Yes, all 10 were made clean, But this man's faith, the one who came back to say thank you, the one who came back full of joy and gratitude to God, this man has been made sozo. It would seem to be a much deeper blessing. Your faith has healed you, saved you, made you whole. And in a strictly literal sense, you could say that this man was saved by a thank you. One commentator observes, "Have you ever noticed just how powerful it is not only to receive blessing, but also to name it and to give thanks for it?" So I wonder, at what position in the narrative do we place ourselves? Because wherever we're at, this story leads us to where we need to go next. Maybe we're standing at a distance from Jesus, feeling unclean or ostracized, but with a hunch that he might be able to help us. Are we wavering over obedience to his promptings because it requires us to take steps that are beyond the naturally obvious? Are we in a place where we can testify to having experienced love and grace from a living and true God, but we've not really returned to Jesus with hearts full of gratitude? May we be brave enough to take whatever the next step in the story is for us, as this encounter between the unclean and the living Jesus and his power to bring about sozo becomes our story too. Let's pray together. Lord, you know our hearts. You know where we're really positioned in this story. And yet this account gives us the confidence that no one is beyond the reach of your love and your power to transform. You sozo the leper-laden, unclean Gentile, even from a distance. So, Lord, help us to approach you with confidence. Help us to engage with you and to be obedient to you and your calling. And as we allow ourselves to become vulnerable and to be transformed by your living power, may we fall at your feet with hearts full of gratitude. And may we live lives of joy that testify to your goodness. In the name of the living Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing again now. The words will be on the screen for this one. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed. Okay, shall we stand? Sorry, before we started singing that, I was going to say the offering will be taken while we sing that hymn. But also that all your giving for this morning is going towards the two charities that are very special to Alan and Helen, the Lullaby Trust and Action for Children. So thank you for your generosity. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings you shower upon us. And Lord, we offer you this gift of money. We pray, Lord, that it would be put to a really good cause and help to glorify your name. And this morning, Lord, we offer you afresh all of our hearts and our lives for the furthering of your kingdom and for your glory. Help us all to shine our lights in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Oops. Yes, I now invite Lynn. Is going to come out to lead us in our prayers of intercession. Thanks, Lynn.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one and only God. In you be praise and glory forever. We love, O God, with all our heart, all our soul, with all our mind and all our strength. We come to give ourselves to you as you give yourself to us. Father, we give thanks for all who have loved you deeply and revealed your love for us. We pray for all who teach from the scriptures and all who preach. We remember the young in the faith and pray for their enthusiasm. We remember also all who have served you for a long time. May they still have warm hearts and a living faith. We ask you to bless all who minister in your name. May the church reveal your love and your glory in the world. We pray for all those who are baptized in your name, and we pray especially for David's baptism today. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for countries ravaged by war, civil unrest, and natural disaster, and those places where people are persecuted for their faith. We pray that all places in turmoil will know your peace. We give thanks for our homes and all places where we have learned of love. We ask your blessing upon all our family and friends, and we pray for all of our congregation here at Denton Burn and for the fellowship we share together. We pray also for all those on our prayer list and on the prayer chain. We pray for all those who feel unloved or unwanted, for the lonely, the neglected, the homeless, and all those who suffer violence or cruelty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for our talents and abilities, and we remember before you all whose powers are waning or feel that they cannot cope with life. We pray for all who are weakened by illness or circumstance, and all who are deeply in debt. We pray for all those who care for another, parents caring for their children, children caring for a parent, those who care for the lonely and confused. We ask your blessing upon those who feel unfulfilled or thwarted in leading a meaningful and joyful life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks that you love us with an everlasting love, a love that passes all understanding. When we forget you, you do not forget us. We rejoice in the promise of life eternal and pray for all our loved ones who are departed from us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, accept these and all our prayers in the name of your Son, our Saviour, brother, and friend, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you. So we move on into our time of communion. Can I ask you all to stand if you're able? We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us therefore keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Would you like to share a greeting of peace with those around you in your pews? Okay, you can be seated now. I'll let you sit down. That's okay. Friends, this is the table of Jesus Christ and our table. Gather around it in freedom and faith, because we are the loved people of God, the guests invited to the feast. Lift up your hearts and minds above your cares and fears, and let this bread and wine be for you the sign of the grace, the love, and the communion of God. We celebrate the Holy God, the source of life and all that is, the one whose being creates in all eternity the wonders of reality with beauty, imagination, costliness, and love. We celebrate Christ Jesus, life that knows no boundaries, truth that never turns aside, grace more powerful than death, and humanness that joins divine. We celebrate the Holy Spirit moving in our midst, preparing the way for fullness of life with gifts of courage, energy, and joy. God above us, God below us, God within us, God beside us, we celebrate your being with endless thanks and praise. With love for his friends, on the night that he was betrayed, Christ took bread. Giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, Christ took the cup and, again giving thanks, gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so we pray, be present, risen Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, as you were with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in the breaking of the bread. For you live and reign with the Creator and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. And so let us pray with confidence in the words our Saviour gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We who are many are one body in Christ. For we all share in the brokenness of life, and we all share in the bread of life. So draw near with faith to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just to stress, all are welcome here at this table. We pray our final prayer together. We thank you, gracious God, for feeding us in body, heart, soul, and mind. We receive with gratitude all that you so graciously offer to us and commit ourselves to love you, each other, and the world. Amen. We sing our final hymn together this morning. The words will be on the screen. We sing this lovely old hymn, "How Great Thou Art." So go in peace in the power of the Holy Spirit. May you know the power of the one who saves, cleanses, and heals. And may you respond with hearts full of gratitude and joy. Amen.